Welcome to Screen Bites, a podcast about video games, technology, TV and movies. In this episode, we discuss Xenia and the recent controversial changes to its code.
Well, at first I thought it was quite funny what this person has done, but if you really think about it, it's actually quite dangerous. So there is an emulator out there for the Xbox 360, Xenia, and it's quite popular emulator. It's made pretty good progress. It's not like fully like every game is playing, but it's getting there. It's getting good. There was a bit of a problem though. Someone the other day made a commit on GitHub where you can download the emulator, and he started making some weird decisions in terms of what file types you can use for the games themselves. So if you were using an ISO file as your 360 game, it would come up with like these weird messages saying, "Oh, you're not you don't know anything about computers, and you're an idiot, you're a douchebag, pirate, you know, you're a pirate," stuff like that. And he also got it so that it would make this beeping noise from your speakers. And even if you had it disabled on your speakers, he was trying to get to the motherboard, so the motherboard would make like a beeping noise as well. And this beeping noise apparently was so loud you could actually do damage to your hearing, especially if you had like headphones on. Like, and this is like, you know, this is an emulator that has been out there for a good few years and people have been using it, and then to have someone come along and make a commit on that and get away with it, in terms of no one actually, it doesn't seem like someone reviewed the code itself and they just like, oh yeah, just let it, and then people downloaded it and used it, and then yeah, people used ISO files, and then they get that kind of experience. I mean, they could experience damage to your hearing. It's a bit stupid. It's just, you know, I can go along with the fact that if you get a pop-up message saying, oh, you're a pirate, don't use ISOs, because the guys sort of thought, oh, because you're using ISOs, that means you're a pirate. I believe what he expects you to do is go on your Xbox 360 and attach an external drive. You put your game into the 360 and you can go into the settings and tell it to install to the hard drive. And that creates like an XBE.
Like a backup copy.
Yeah.
That is technically a legal copy of your own game. Yeah.
So I believe the file format, I think it's XBE, but I'm not 100%. I think it's something like that. So there's like different file types you can use on Xenia. So, and I do believe one of them is ISO. You can use ISOs as well. Yeah, just like the complete stupidity of this guy to do that to people, especially like to have them like get to a point where full blown beep in their ears, and it could potentially damage your hearing from it. Is it worth it? Was that whether, like, you have to be such a scumbag? That's the thing, like, this guy, like, he put other additional fixes and potential fixes to bugs to some games and improvements to the emulator. But then you include that, so he must be some smart person. And then, you, like, as a user, would you trust that emulator, using the emulator again? Who knows what could be potentially wrapped in that emulator and potentially used? Who knows? It's borderline putting, like, viruses on your PC.
Yeah, well, the thing is, it's like, there's like three different things going on there. Is like, one is talking about broadly, you know, the broad strokes of using Xenia and where you're going to get your games from. The other is this guy, or this person who did the pull request, who clearly has some kind of moral high ground they feel that they need to convey and communicate to other people. Looking at some of the stuff that they've done, like there's some stuff in the code, some comments that he's put in, and he just sounds really angry at people. I'm presuming it's a guy. They sound really angry at everyone who's using the program, and yeah, there's just this sort of like moral high ground that they're taking for one reason or another. And then obviously the third thing is just forgotten. There is a third point to this whole story, and we'll get to it when my brain remembers it. So to the first point, right? We've kind of spoken about this before, and it's like, so when did the Xbox 360 come out?
2005.
Okay, and when was it ended?
2000.
Like 2012, 2013, when the Xbox One came out?
Yeah, 2013.
And it's like, technically, it is illegal. Piracy of any, it's playing any game not on the 360. Let's just put it out. It's not legal to play a 360 game on any other platform. But the argument that I made, and I don't even think I made it that long ago, but it's like, if the original publisher of a game that was released on the 360 cannot make any more money from that game, what is the harm? Why would you go and, like, what law enforcement agency would be spending their money, time, resources wisely to go after someone who is pirating games from a system that is obsolete and that the original game publishers and the original manufacturer, no one in that pipeline is making any money from the piracy of those games? Xbox One and Xbox Series and the more modern stuff is like, yeah, okay, it's like there's games and services that are still running on both, on all of those systems, where like Fortnite or Microsoft, you know, through selling a hard copy or a digital version of game, or through a service like Fortnite with microtransactions, you can say, actually, no, they're still an active game, so you aren't going to be, that would be appropriate to go after someone who's pirating anything from those games. But we're talking about a console that was released 18 years ago, and the games, obviously, they're not all 18 years. Some of them are a lot newer. If any of those games are basically retired, that, you know, there's no way. Like, you talk about the used market, but the money from the used market doesn't go back to the original developers or Microsoft or Sony or anyone like that. It's just between individual sales or it's second-hand used game stores like CX in the UK. You know, it's not a good idea for law enforcement to go after it. So why would this random guy who is making code for this, what is already questionable legally, software, you know, it's a bit like LimeWire and BitTorrent. Like, the software themselves isn't illegal, but the activity that's done on them certainly isn't legal for the most of it. It's like 99% of it, it's just piracy. And you've got 1% of people who are downloading torrent, you know, the Linux distributions on there, and that is technically legal. This Xenia software is pretty much exactly the same. 99.999% of people will be using games that are not their own physical copies, copied the correct way into the system. So, yeah, and it's like, he put comments in the code about these people are idiots for using because it's not just ISOs, is it? There's something else, like there's some other archival format that isn't actually compatible. And I saw on that Twitter thread there is a screenshot of it going to Google and it throws up an error message that's like terminating due to user's lack of basic computer skills. And it's just like, this guy has a real chip on his shoulder. Where is this coming from?
The thing is, my worry is, how did this get through? Someone surely must code review these commits, like peer review. So that's worrying.
Have you actually looked at the GitHub?
No. It's been taken down now. They reverted it now, and the guy who has his own GitHub has deleted it. So,
well, they've done something. There's something similar that has happened on Xenia Canary, where if you look at the pull requests from 4 days ago, it's got the exact same things. So it says, if a user opens a .iso file, show a warning telling them that we do not condone or support piracy. If the user closes the message box within 2 seconds, set a sticky flag that will show them the warning every time instead. Otherwise, the warning is never shown again. The beep function is used to spook them a bit, to hopefully make them less likely to skip the message. And then new paragraph. If a user opens an archive file, which we do not support, explain to them that they're dumb. So that's on the GitHub Xenia Canary, which I don't know if this is a different build or if it's a bit like Google Chrome Canary, which is like, you know, it's the beta sort of version of it. Someone responded, and I don't know who it is and whether that is the guy, the main person who owns the project. You know, like, they've posted out, this has already been merged, however, blah, 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 saying, like, you should not care how legal the copy of the game the user is playing. Perhaps piracy is the only way people get these games, and you were caring about piracy for a console released 18 years ago. So it's like, it does say this has been merged. And actually, that might just be someone commenting as not the person who did the merging. But they do, you know, they make a good point. It's like, it's not this person's job to care about that in such a way. It's like, you can argue about the fact that the project has to show that they are not encouraging piracy. That's one thing. But doing something like this, which is particularly malicious, that's the third point, because it was a point that you made about, obviously, the code coming in basically like a virus. And it's this whole thing about how does a normal person know when it is okay to install a program, or if it's auto-installing. I often think about this because, like, in my job working in IT, one of the big things people talk about in terms of keeping things really secure is to always keep your software up to date. Problem with keeping your software up to date is sometimes you upgrade to an insecure version of the software and you'd have been better on an older version without the security issue. and then you're on this new version. You can't go back unless you uninstall and reinstall, and you can't go forward until something else comes through. So there's like, you either got something from like Steam or something which auto installs this bad thing, or you got something from GitHub where someone just says, oh, there's a new update to this software, would you like to install? Yes, we'll go do that, blah blah blah, and then they still get it. So there's no, it's not really a real answer to it, but you know, some people have been sort of referring to it as basically malware at this point. It's like a virus because it's damaging. Like, that's what viruses did. They damaged people's computers, they damaged other things, and yeah, you could technically class Xenia as a virus at that point.
Yeah, it's just a shame, and it kind of damages the reputation and of the emulator itself, because people are like, oh, I don't want to put up with this. I don't trust it now. If this has happened before, well, why should I trust you again? And that's, to be fair, like, he did put it in the notes, but who reads the notes of the commits, I suppose? Whoever said about the merging and...
Yes, he's put it in the notes, but he hasn't really... He said what he's doing, but he hasn't said how he's doing it. And it's one thing to have like a beep. It's another thing to have a massive, you know,
beep. Yeah.
You know, we're not, this is an audio podcast. We're not going to put the actual full volume thing in there. But it's like this thing where, you know, people are saying this is like damaging headphones, damaging ears, damaging speakers. You know, imagine if you're doing this at 2 a.m. You wake up your other people in your house or your neighbors or something like that. And it's just malicious for really no gain.
Yeah. The thing is, I can tolerate the boxes coming up and like, that's just tongue-in-cheek, and
yeah, it's not even tongue-in-cheek, but like, that is what I would consider someone doing their due diligence to a third party to say that they are not supporting piracy. And that's fine, you know, you do what you need to do, that's absolutely fine. I will click that button okay every single time if I have to. But the beep, the bit that is really bad is the fact that they go for your motherboard speaker. That is, it's just malicious. Like, I just can't think of a better word to describe it. It's just so malicious. It's not user hostile, it's not user unfriendly, it is malicious. It's just so incredibly bad.
Yeah, I think one of the questions I probably got now for you is, we said about like, in terms of if a console's like 20 years old and we don't really see a reason why someone, if they haven't got a game and say said game is expensive, then you could just, you know, get it off the internet. But in terms of like how to get access to the emulator itself, so I don't know if you read about Dolphin, you know, the Wii emulator?
I'm aware of it.
Yeah, so they tried to get themselves on Steam. This has been happening, it's been going on for about a year and a bit. So they've been in talks with Steam, with Valve, trying to get Dolphin, because RetroArch is on Steam. So they were pushing for Dolphin. So what happened was, there's been kind of this confusion about why Dolphin is not allowed on Steam. So it turns out that Valve actually went to Nintendo and asked them, are you happy for this to happen? And Nintendo responded and said no. And that was that. But before that, all this confusion came out. It was like, Dolphin were using the Wii common key in their emulators, and that's the reason why Nintendo have gone after them and stuff like that. And it was like, it has nothing to do with that. It was just the fact that Valve themselves asked Nintendo, what do you think to the idea of having Dolphin on Steam? And they just said, no, we don't really want that. We would prefer not for that to be. So they just said, sorry, Dolphin, you can't be done, and which is fair enough.
Valve are more likely to have a good relationship with a company such as Nintendo than they are with Dolphin. I mean, where they all stand in the world, that's who they align themselves closer to. Of course, they're going to go to Nintendo over Dolphin, who are just, they're just a bunch of developers, aren't they? It's just another sort of like free open source software.
Yeah, but the question is like, how... So these guys create an emulator, it's a very good emulator, but where do you draw the line of like, because what they try to do is like trying to make it like it's not technically illegal. It's because if it's on like the Steam, you can just access it on Steam then. But you still got to like, I don't think they could like provide you like a BIOS. You would probably have to find a BIOS online and put it in somewhere. I don't know how that would work.
So what's going to be on Steam? Just the software itself?
Yeah.
So it would be the equivalent of Xenia software being on Steam, but you still have to provide the ISO or the game disc to Xenia itself. Okay.
And the BIOS file. But I don't, that's the thing, I just don't don't see the why they went down this route, because it seems like they were causing troubles for themselves. Because
who, Dolphin? Well, they probably wanted to be on a Steam Deck, didn't they?
You can easily put it on the Steam Deck.
Maybe they wanted to be on the Steam store for the Steam Deck. Like, there's probably a reason to be there.
Yeah, of course they wanted it on Steam. Yeah, they wanted it on Steam. But for me, it's like, don't push your luck. You're pushing your luck here. Like, Nintendo have like let you off and created the simulator, and they haven't gone after you legally to tell you to cease and desist, shut it down, and then you're trying to put it on a big giant storefront. What do you think they're gonna do?
Well, the thing is, like,
it just seems like a waste of time.
I don't know what the answer to this is, but if they have created software that can read a Wii game, what is there that Nintendo can go after in terms of copyright? Because they're not distributing the games, they're distributing software that they themselves have created. So Nintendo don't own that code. It just so happens that it can read code that they have made. But is that illegal? I don't know. I don't work in software.
I don't know.
Do you see the argument I'm making? And I'm sure this has been argued in courts before, and I'm sure the big corporations will always win because they generally do. But it might be that what they're producing, there's nothing that they're producing that Nintendo can go after them for.
Well, we'll never find out, will we? Because they've
well, the thing is, Nintendo is incredibly litigious. They go after any YouTuber for showing games that they don't want to be shown or whatever. So the fact that Nintendo haven't gone after Dolphin, it's got to be that they can't, other than they don't want to. There's no way that Nintendo don't want Dolphin to exist.
Yeah, if they could, they probably would, and they would have done it by now. They would have done a long time ago.
Yeah, so it must be that they can't go after Dolphin. It must be. There's no way.
I think we don't know for a fact, but you know you could play...
So I'll just spout something about the key that they've written. The extraction of the Wii common key did not elicit any kind of legal response from anyone. It was freely shared everywhere and eventually made it in its way into Dolphin's codebase more than 15 years ago. So basically, it looks like... So on hackme.com, 2008. So it basically looks like the game was up, the jig was up, so long ago that it's basically become public domain information. It is as common knowledge as 1, 2, 3, 4. So it's not really, putting it in their code, it's not really illegal or really, I don't know. It might be illegal, but it's not really, it's not legally, not defensible, attackable. There's no way you could go after them, because the thing about copyright and trademarks and all this kind of stuff is that you can't pick and choose who you go after. You have to go after one person. So if you go after one person, you have to go after everyone. So they can't go after Dolphin, but not every single other big thing that has taken the key or whatever. So
okay, let me give you another, like, this final question on emulate. What are your thoughts on Nintendo Switch emulation? Do you think that is illegal because it's a current game console?
All right, so here's where my answer stands. I don't think emulation of the platform, if written by novel code, so if you today wrote with your own keyboard code that could emulate the Switch, I don't think that should be illegal. That would be the same as having software that can do BitTorrenting. BitTorrenting itself isn't illegal, it's how you use it. Now, you could have this Switch emulator because you could argue you've got the Switch emulator because you're going to develop a game and you can't, you know, there's no way of, you don't have a Switch development kit, so you can't put it onto the Switch every time you want to run it. So you just want to view it within the Switch. So it's your code for the Switch emulator and it's your code for the Switch game. So nothing illegal there. If you then manage to make a device to plug in a Switch card into your computer and play that through the emulator, there's been no copyright or anything. You know, it's a game that has been purchased, and that game is what's being run on this Switch emulator through this amazing Switch card adapter that you've just built for your PC. If you were to go on the internet and download Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.iso and then run that on your emulator, that in itself I would consider to be not legal. And then, like, I still don't think it's legal to download the original James Bond GoldenEye for the Xbox and run that on Xenia. Don't get me wrong, I don't think that's legal. illegal. I just think that the difference between that game, which A, was never even sold, so it never made any money, and Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which is a game that they still are supporting and making new levels for and making money from, that's the difference. That's where if they were to go after you, there would be a reason for it, because they can say, you are cutting into our profits because this many people have used that ISO that you ripped and we've lost this much money, versus Microsoft and whoever did GoldenEye when they said, oh, we're going to go after you for this playing GoldenEye on the Xbox Xenia because of all this lost money that we... Oh, wait, no, we don't have any lost money because we never sold the game. Does that... Do you get that argument? So it's like, it's never about the emulator. It's always about the game and whether the game is currently making money for its publisher and for its developer. And that's basically where I stand. It's all illegal, no matter which way you cut it, until the game console is like 75 years, I think that's, you know, there's that sort of thing, but obviously none of them are. But it's all illegal. It's just law enforcement and courts, they shouldn't act upon it if it's no longer making money. So they should allow people to play PlayStation, PlayStation 2 games on an emulator. It's not harming anyone anywhere in the world at all at this point. Who is losing money from people emulating PlayStation games? No one. No one can be. Now, you could argue that they can't make money, so maybe you can't sell your emulator, or you can't sell like Lara Croft on the original PlayStation. Like, you can't make money from those ventures either. But if it's being shared, you know, it's essentially abandonware at this point, is it not? Why do we allow abandonware to exist on computers but not on game consoles? Maybe we just consider all PlayStation games to be abandonware, and that way it's not actually illegal. I think I've just solved piracy. Let's go.
Oh my, get out. What have you done? No, I agree. Like, if it's so many years of like the PlayStation, PS2, GameCube, Wii, then it's like, yeah, it's fair game. Even PS3 and 360, but when you get beyond that gen.
Yeah, once you hit Xbox One and PS4, it's harder on the PC market because there's no fine line, but you can still use the same basic answer. You can use the same basic argument. It's like, is it making money for the original developer or not? And Steam kind of makes that harder. It's probably going to be that games that are from 2008 and older on the PC are going to fit into that category, but since Steam came around and you can buy a game from 2009 still and that money goes directly to the publisher, then yeah, that argument gets harder. But it's about the clearest one you've got.
I don't know, like, I have used Switch emulation, which has been pretty good, pretty impressive.
But the thing is, who cares about whether you use Switch emulation? They don't care. Nintendo doesn't care if you use it.
They do,
but not directly. They care more about the people distributing it.
Yeah.
And that's where piracy tends to come in. It's not about the individual people watching a movie or playing a game that they've downloaded. It's about going after the people who are going into the cinema with a camera hidden in their pocket, or trying to stop people from, you know, breaking the DRM and copying the game in the first place. That is, it's all the legal side of piracy is always after distribution, not end users. I say always. There's always a few cases here and there, but by and large, they're after distribution. Thank you for listening to Screen Bites. Follow us in your podcast app or subscribe on YouTube.